This is Community Voices. We're featuring an event you may have missed. This past year, the Citizens Club of Springfield focused on the role of the Hoagland Center for the Arts in our community and how it came to be. Here's Citizens Club President Joyce Narduli.
It's a thriving center for the arts in Springfield, driving many people to performances here in the downtown area and resulting in other businesses gaining patrons as well. We're going to show you our video now that highlights Gus Gordon, artistic director here since 2007, and I believe you likely all know Gus. Gus has a lot to tell you about, and he's going to stay here and answer your questions afterwards. So with that, let's get started.
Good morning. I'm Joyce Narduli. I'm the president of the Citizens Club of Springfield, Illinois. And today we're here with Gus Gordon, who's the executive director of the Hoagland Center for the Arts. And we're going to take a little walking tour through this entire very large building this morning.
Very large building.
And we're going to talk about the history and why we're here and what was here before. So let's start with an introduction from Gus.
Well, thank you, Joyce, very much. I really appreciate this opportunity to tell the Citizens Club and anyone else who sees this on public access or throughout Springfield and central Illinois, the history of this remarkable facility. Now, it was originally in the Masonic Temple. Mm-hmm. It was built by the Masons in 1909, at least the southern half of the building. Then the Masons were growing throughout that period, and in 1960, they had to make an addition to accommodate their increased membership. Mm. So the northern two-thirds of the building were added on at that time. It was a major, major addition to the building. At that point, they added the main theater, although I'm not sure the Masons called it a theater, a presentation space. Time goes on, we get into the 1990s, and the building, which is just shy of 80,000 square feet, again, a portion of it built in 1909, mm-hmm. so it's over 100 years old. And it wasn't at that time, but it is now. It was a beast of a building to maintain. Mm-hmm. And I think the Masons decided this was too big for our current needs. They decided to sell, see if there was any interest. They purchased land out west on Rickard Road and put up their facility there, their new facility, which is a little more contained and not quite as sprawling of a space. So that left this building here, this enormous building downtown. A group of people headed by Grace Nanavati, Tom Appleton, Judy Stevens, Kathy Hoffman, Dennis Bringett, Tom Frost, Roderick Nunn, Carolyn Oxtoby, of course, Carolyn Oxtoby. So many wonderful people came together, decided this shouldn't be torn down. This should be saved. It all goes back to Karen Hasera. It was her 2020 project, perhaps. She was trying to envision what the city would look like in 20 years. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they discovered when they did this survey was we needed an arts facility downtown. So that was out there. Kay Feuer, who was with the Springfield Area Arts Council, she was their executive director. She had done a feasibility survey about turning this building into an art center. So you had three different things going on that all led to this building being turned into the art center. Now, we purchased the building. Carolyn Oxtoby and her brother, Stephen Bartoff, who have both passed, unfortunately, put up the seed money to make the purchase of the building. That was step one. Then the group formed the Springfield Art Center, Inc., not-for-profit, 501c3. We're now the Hoagland Center for the Arts, Inc., nonprofit. We're still a 501c3. They started raising money. They were the last group, as I understand it, to get some of the Illinois First money from the George Ryan administration. When Rod Blagojevich came into office, the door shut on all of those deals, but we were able to squeak by at the last minute and received, I think, $5.5 million for the renovation. Anyone who was in here when it was the Masonic Temple, they know what a change was made. Mm-hmm. This was a very different building. This was a conference room. This lobby we're sitting in, the Pam Rahan lobby for the LRS Theater. And Pam, unfortunately, just passed away recently. She was a wonderful supporter for all of our 21 years. But there was full renovation done. It wasn't just new wallpaper, a new paint job, and some new carpet. major excavation took place.
Take down walls?
Take down walls. That was the coat rack over there where mm-hmm. the ticket office is now, and my mm-hmm. office is. Major changes took place. As they got close to the finish of their project, Jones Blythe was the contractor at the time, and John Blythe was the in charge of that. And Lauren Barnes, I have to mention Lauren Barnes, who also recently passed, unfortunately. Lauren was the facilities manager for the Masonic Temple, and he stayed on with the Hoagland and oversaw this renovation. He was here and helped make the building what it was. He loved this building. We were so sorry to hear of his passing because he took so many secrets with him mm-hmm. and so much knowledge, institutional knowledge, that I picked up some of it, but not all of it. That process took place as they were renovating. The fire marshal came in and said, you know, these old metal fire escapes on the outside of the building will not accommodate the numbers of people you expect to have inside. They had to go back to the architects, Graham and Hyde, and Jones Blythe Construction, and they had to add an indoor fire escape from the third floor to the back door on the first level for people to exit the building in case of fire. That put a monkey wrench in everything. They had fundraised the money they needed, but not for those additions. And again, when you're taking out a good 10 feet of space from each floor and creating a staircase, that brought the total up to, I think, $9.5 million.
There wasn't a staircase prior to that.
Not an indoor fire escape.
Yeah, well,
there are three now. But you need a certain number of exit points in each room. Mm-hmm. And to adhere to the fire marshal standards, they had to add that. And it was kind of, you do this or you can't open. So they really needed to accomplish that. They raised some more money, but at the very end there, they needed to go and get some county bonds mm-hmm. that were then purchased by INB. They were the only bank at the time who was willing to do that for us. As I understand it, I wasn't involved in that process. I mean, no offense to anyone else if that's incorrect, but that's the story as I had heard it. We opened the doors on December 31st, 2003 mm-hmm. to the public. There had been a few individual events here before the official opening, but First Night Springfield of 2003 into 2004 was the official opening. But we started with a $27,000 a month mortgage. And then when you get into the heating and cooling of a 100-year-old building that's 80,000 square feet, even at that time, the electric bill would go up to $10,000 in the summer a month. It was enormous. They kind of found themselves pretty quickly in some financial difficulty. Then around 2007, I came aboard part-time. I was still working at Channel 20 as the chief meteorologist there. I started producing events for the building. They had produced a few things in 2006. Dave Kelm had been a development director, and Dave had produced a few things. Then I came in 2007 and continued doing that. They discovered that they couldn't just be a building that rented space to other organizations. That's what they had been when they first opened. They were a house of the arts for the Springfield Theater Center, the Muni Opera, the Springfield Ballet Company, the Land of Lincoln Chorus, the Sound of Celebration Chorus, the Springfield International Folk Dancers, the Prairie Art Alliance at the time. So many of these groups that I'm missing a bunch, the St. Andrews Society was an original tenant. The Springfield Area Arts Council has been a tenant since the very beginning. They are a cornerstone in our building. But we were a landlord at first. The board quickly realized, well, you don't get $27,000 a month for just being a landlord. They started producing things.
When you say things, you mean like musicals, plays?
Musicals, concerts. All those times in between when the other groups were using the space. So right. Theater Center had their 8-show season. And then in between those weeks, we would start doing things to raise some money. And that proved to be very beneficial, but still not enough. In 2012, we started an education program. Dr. Matthew Vallo was the first administrator for that, and he did a great job creating it. In 2022, Craig Williams II and Molly Schunick took over as Matthew went to work at Illinois State University. it's continued. The education program opened so many doors to us. You can't apply for grants, many grants, if you're just a landlord. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a thriving kids program, all of a sudden, there are doors that are open to you. Mm-hmm. That's the crass way to look at it. The more realistic way to look at it is we have made a huge difference in this community.
You have.
We have kids here today. You're going to hear kids in the background. You'll see them in pictures. We have the Springfield Theater Center PAVE summer camp here. So kids are all over the building. The change that I've seen in those 13 years the education program has been in existence, I've seen kids come in as first graders, leave as seniors, and the difference in these children. They come in, they're shy, they're standing behind their mom or their dad, they don't want to speak up. Mm-hmm. And then when they're seniors in high school, they're standing out here in the lobby, singing their guts out. Many of these kids who went through the education program are some of the teen counselors for the PAVE summer camp. We're teaching a new generation leadership skills, not just performing skills, but leadership skills. One of the people we're proudest of, who has gone on to have an amazing career, is Stella Cole. Mm-hmm. Stella was a Springfield resident. She went to Springfield High School. She did several shows here at the Hoagland. She was in Godspell, Fiddler on the Roof, Hay Fever, The Little Years, and Steel Magnolias. She played Shelby in Steel Magnolias. Stella is now an international singing sensation, playing in New York City, playing in Paris, Italy, going all over the world. She started here.
Here in Springfield, Illinois.
Springfield, Illinois. It's an amazing success story. But the building found itself in a position in 2011 where the brakes just had to be put on. We weren't making the monthly payments. We had to go into the endowment just to stay open. The endowment was not set up in a way that you couldn't touch it. When it became a choice of survival or closing, they went to that. But then Fred Giroux was the executive director at the time and did a fine job. He was a great salesperson. Grace Nanavati, Tom Appleton. But it was really Grace that kind of said, we need to go to the public and let them know what's going on. Mm-hmm. The response was overwhelming. We raised $2.5 million. There's one special person out there who made an incredible donation. Hundreds, if not 1,000, also wonderful donors who came forward and helped save the building. We were able to pay the mortgage off in 2015 by the time I was the executive director. We had many pledges that came in 2011, 2012. Those pledges were all paid off by 2015. We had a mortgage shredding ceremony. Couldn't burn it in the building, fire code and all of that. That was a wonderful experience. We have been debt-free ever since.
Excellent.
And we got on top of things. The pandemic did a number on us.
On everyone.
On everyone. We took that time where we were closed for a year and a half to do major renovation projects. We replaced the chillers, the boilers, three of our air handlers. We added air purification modules to all of the air handlers just to keep the air as clean as possible. We opened, we survived. So many theaters across the country closed during the pandemic. They just weren't able to survive. And we're still seeing the after effect. A lot of the restaurants that have closed recently are saying, we never recovered from the pandemic.
Yeah.
But we were fortunate enough that our donors came forward in mass. And I finally had to sit down and learn how to write a grant. I had never really done that too much. Janet Seitz had been one of our original development people, and Janet did a very good job getting some of those original grants. When I took over as executive director, I didn't have that background, so I was raising money other ways. During the pandemic, that was the way to do it, okay. And that's what we did.
Gus, could you tell me, why is this building called Hoagland Center for the Arts?
We were fortunate in 2004 that Charles and Kathleen Hoagland, who were famous in this area for family video, came forth and donated $1 million for the naming rights. And that came to us right after we had first opened, and it was enormously helpful. The Hoagland family was so kind to us over the years, and Charles and Kay were here at the naming ceremony. They just were angels to us for the longest time. We've lost them both, sadly, but we still have Hoagland family members. We just had Charlie, the grandson, Charlie Hoagland, who mm-hmm. still lives here in town. He came through recently and was as friendly as can be. So we still have the impact of the Hoagland Center for the Arts, but we wouldn't be here without that family. Some people at the time thought, well, do they own the building? It's no, they just, like many other wonderful donors, like Pam Ray Hahn and Dick Levi with Levi Ray and Chow, they gave us that money for the naming rights to the building. We are eternally grateful to them. The parent business has moved out of Illinois. We miss them, but we are so grateful to everything they did for us and the legacy they left here in Springfield.
That's a great history, a great background.
How the Hoagland Center for the Arts came to be. When we come back, a tour on Community Voices. This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. We are listening to this past year's Citizens Club feature on the Hoagland Center for the Arts. Right now, time for some theater of the mind as we tour the Hoagland Center for the Arts.
Now we're going to go see this great building that has survived and thrived and is doing well today. So let's get started.
Okay, now we're in the basement of the building. Not many people come down here, but they do come down to visit our friends in the Springfield Area Arts Council office. So Joyce, let's go on in here and we can see what they do. The Springfield Area Arts Council has been a tenant since the very beginning of the building. They are a group that helps other arts organizations. A lot of the grant funding that comes from the Illinois Arts Council goes through the Springfield Area Arts Council mm-hmm. and then is distributed to the ballet company and different performance groups in the area, different artists in the area. They support groups, they support individual artists, they put on first night every year.
Yeah.
They are now kind of the group in charge of the Levitt Amp Festival.
Ah.
They also put on the Artist in the Park weekly during the summer. So if there is something artistic going on in Springfield, it is very likely that the Springfield Area Arts Council had something to do with that. They support everybody, and we are really proud that they're here in the building. Now, this is the dining room. Back when this was the Masonic Temple, it could serve up to 700 people. They had a full service line, and they had a full service kitchen. Now, we still have events down here, but it's used for rehearsals quite a bit. AFSCME meets down here. We have the PAVE Summer Theater Camp that Springfield Theater Center puts on, and this is a place where their students come. The building can be a beehive of activity, and during the summer, it is. We have lots of kids mm-hmm. and students here in the pictures. This is a multi-purpose space, as most of our rooms are. This is a great use of it, training
What's
people.
Down here when PAVE is not?
Again, we do rehearsals. We've had weddings down here in this space. Not as much as we used to.
Mm-hmm.
We use it primarily for some meetings. I mentioned AFSCME comes down for their annual or their monthly meetings, and they can be catered. We have caterers who come into the building. We've worked with Arena Food Service for years. Now other caterers can come in and help out as well.
But Arena's not here anymore, right?
That's right. They bought a facility and they consolidated all their different offices into one building.
Let's go look at where they used to be.
Okay,
shall
all right,
we?
Let's come down this way then.
Okay.
Okay, now this area used to be the kitchen, the culinary preparation area, if you will. Arena Food Service moved out last year. We decided to utilize this space for more prop storage, mm-hmm. a set storage. We don't anticipate ever having another full-time caterer here, so that's why it's being used for this purpose. We didn't have enough space to do some of the building we needed to have done. But we still have the refrigeration unit, we still have the sinks, we still have some of the appliances, although they are not in use at the moment. But they are still here if we ever have a change of heart mm-hmm. and decide, well, we do want to have some food preparation
it's
done here.
It's a pretty big space.
It is, yeah. It is. We loved Arena. They are still one of our primary
vendors.
Caterers that come in here.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't think it'd be feasible to have another group come in and do what they did. So we thought, well, let's use the space in a different way.
Okay.
Now I'll show you another room. This room is also chaotic. This is the scene shop room where the sets are built. And that's one of the reasons we started utilizing this space, because it's very small. right now we're in the scene shop. This is where the sets for the different plays and musicals are built, used primarily by the Springfield Theater Center, but occasionally some of the other groups build sets down here as well. We've got table saws, we've got paint cans, we've got flats, which are the walls you see used in a set. This is where people come and build the shows that take place on the main stage. Now these double doors right over here, those are doors that lead to our hydraulic lift pit. So we can drop that pit all the way down to the basement level to roll scenery on there. And then we raise the orchestra pit back up, and that's how we get the scenery from here up there. And this is Dave Sammons.
Hi, Dave.
Wave at us. Dave is the technical director for the Springfield Theater Center, and he's busy cleaning up and working on a set for an upcoming show. Okay, we're back to the first floor, Joyce. This is the H.D. Smith Gallery. The H.D. Smith family has been so generous to the Hoagland over the years, and we are so appreciative. They still are. They still are to this day. Dale and Chris and their spouses have been very kind to us. This is the gallery, and we've got a bunch of paid kids coming in, too. So again, this is a working day for us here in the building. You can see the kids as they come in and they're getting ready for music class. You can see all the beautiful artwork on the walls. This started out as the Prairie Art Alliance. That organization was around for quite a long time. They merged with the Springfield Art Association, and when they merged, they moved to the other campus. The Sangamon Watercolor Society kind of took over this space, so they have a lot of artwork in here. Beautiful. We'll occasionally have guest exhibits come in. We've had the Girl Scouts bring in an exhibit. The Illinois Times does their visitor guide premiere where they show off the new artwork. They come in here each year to do that. And this has proven to be a great reception area after shows.
Yes.
For the cast to meet the public, take great pictures, but it's a really beautiful space. This used to be the, I think the smoking room when it was the Masonic Temple, or the lounge. It has grown and been useful to us in this respect. And it's also used as a rehearsal space for the PAVE Summer Theater Camp. Okay, Joyce, we're still on the main floor. This is the Levi Ray and Shoup Theater.
Right.
Dick Levi was very kind and gave a donation to revitalize this space. So we're gonna come on in, take a look at the theater. This is where most people know the Hoagland, from this room. And right now it's being used by the PAVE Theater Camp for training. So let's quietly go on in and see what they're doing. That's the tech booth over there. That's where we have the sound and lights. So this is the dressing room where the cast get ready for the shows. This room is always busy. One show closes, they clean it out, they wipe it down, then the next show moves in and they put all their costumes in here. Sometimes our costume designers come in here to do sewing for a project to make all the unique costumes we have for each and every show. And this is where the cast puts their makeup on. We had a campaign several years ago to replace all of these lights with LED lights. This helped save electricity quite a bit, and it reduced the heat in this room. When you pack 20 people changing costumes after they've been dancing on stage and you have all these bright lights, it can really get hot in here. The LED lights help that a little bit. It's still hot, but it helped a little bit. All right, let's go backstage and see what happens on the other side of the LRS. Okay, we're heading from the dressing room to the stage. This is where we have all the announcements for the shows. And then we have this little secret hatchway that leads you directly to the stage.
And another dressing room here.
And another dressing room there. It's pretty much the same as the one we just went through. But we do have two dressing rooms, because sometimes we'll have 30 people in the cast of a show. The stage is kind of crowded right now because we have a set on here. This was put together primarily by some of the kids with adult mentors to keep things safe and to keep things organized. But the kids do a remarkable job. They really do. We've got a pretty big stage. It's 26 feet wide. It's the proscenium's about 18 feet tall. We have what we call a fly system. We have all these different ropes and bars that you can hang curtains from, you can hang flats from, which again are the walls we use on stage.
Oh, look at all the ropes.
Right, Brent Theatrical Company here in Central Illinois, they are one of our main helpers. And whenever it comes to the fly system, they help us reweight things to keep things safe. They help us with all our theatrical lighting.
Okay, why equipment. Do you call it fly?
Because the things fly. We can do the pulley system, uh-huh. and these curtains will go straight up into
down.
The system. Right.
Got it.
It's just an old theatrical term.
And I want to see behind the stage.
Okay. This is kind of dark back here, but let me flip a light or two on, and I'll show you the thing I'm proudest of. And this is a really weird thing to be proud of. We had a terrible, terrible garage door before. So when I retire, I'm hoping that they'll call this the Gus Gordon Memorial Garage Door, because we put in a garage door that opens by the push of a button. The other one was a wreck. So I'm really proud of this.
Ooh.
I'm easy to please. The backstage, we have staircase for the actors to get up to the second level. And then over here, usually the band is in the orchestra pit, which is at the front of the stage. And I wish I could show you that in operation, but the kids are out there doing a class, so I really can't at this time. This is where we have the orchestra, because they want to use the stage to its fullest extent and have the actors right next to the audience. When we had the orchestra pit down, there's about a 15-foot gap from the stage to the audience. All right,
great.
Let's head on to the next space. Okay, so here's the back door area. These doors lead to the back alley, and we're just have Grace Lutheran Church over there, and First Pres, so we're right in the heart of downtown. Lincoln's home is just across the street, so it's a great location. But here's that staircase I told you about. This is the big staircase that had to be put in because of the fire code. And this is where it ends. It ends to this door. This is where people would go out in safety. And I can say honestly, in my 17 years here or so, we've never had to use that. Knock wood, and we hope that stays that way. So this is level 1.5. We have offices up here. We have the Springfield Theater Center office. We have the office for the Springfield Municipal Opera. They're also up here. And this is the heart of our education program back down this special hallway. It's kind of sneaky back here. Let me get the lights on. You have to wave your hand to get the lights on in here. But this is the classroom. This is the primary area for the education program. This is where they meet for a lot of their classes and rehearsals. We have kids first grade through 12th grade who participate. And this past year, we added classes for kids 1-year-old to 5 years old. So we cover kids from 1 to 18 with educational opportunities.
Closets, is this all closet space?
Yes, it is. This used to be, as I understand it, where the Masons would keep their ceremonial robes and their hardware, like the swords and so forth. But now it's used for storing books, textbooks, paint cans, costume pieces. This is a busy room. Most weekends and then most nights, we have educational classes offered Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights here. So Joyce, we just got off on the second floor. Mm-hmm. We have two sides here. We go to the more modern side, and this is the balcony of the LRS Theater. Okay. We have 450 seats in this theater, so we can fit a pretty big crowd. Then if we come this way, we go to the 1909 portion of the building, and you can see the seam. And I think it's right about here. That's the demarcation of the two buildings, the original and the addition. This area people don't see as much. We have private office space for the Copper Coin Ballet Company. And we have the dance studio that leads through this door. And we have kids in here as well. We can peek in and see the dance floor. We also rehearse in here at night for all the musicals and shows, and it's used for educational purposes as well. You all gonna dance for us?
Okay.
All right.
So we have more office space here. This is the office of Spencer Films and Spencer Theater Company, which was put together by Julie Staley. They created the film Fields of Gold about the A.E. Staley family, and it's been very successful and popular. And down this hallway, we have what we call the Polly Rush Social Room. But this is where we have meetings, board meetings, we have rehearsals, but we also have dinners.
The kitchen.
We can have cocktail hour in this space as well. There's a little kitchenette. We have more pictures by the Watercolor Society. And this was named after our dear friend, Polly Rush, who was just an exceptional philanthropist. Polly has the designation of being in the Guinness Book of World Records for being the oldest soloist to debut with the symphony orchestra. She sang with the Illinois Symphony, and she sang, I think, Silver Bells. Yeah, that was one of the songs, I forget the other one. We loved Polly. She was sharp as a tack until the day she passed, and we honor her memory in this room. Oh, and we have got a great view of Firestone, but we also have a great view of the Capitol.
That's an awesome view.
All right, now we're on the third floor, and this is the lobby to the Peggy Rider Theater. It's called the Staley Family Reception Area. Mm-hmm. We have had so many wonderful donors, and Julie and Mark Staley named this space, and they've got a beautiful plaque right over there next to pictures of past productions. We have the bar put up in this area for shows, and we have these wonderful pews that are original to the building. Oh. I don't know that they go back to 1909, but they go back a long way, and we keep them here for audiences to sit in as they wait to come in. We have our boardroom off to this side, and we just actually had a board meeting here on Monday of this week. Again, we have the Watercolor Society. They provide a lot of the artwork on the walls here in the building. This room can be used as a performance space. It can be used as a staging area for the caterer. It can be used for board meetings. It can be used for art receptions, rehearsals, all kinds of things.
Is this an original door?
It is. That leads back to storage, but that's original to the building. So that goes back to 1909. They kept a lot of character of the original building here. And if we go over to the Peggy Rider Theater, we can see exactly what I'm talking about. The boardroom is unnamed at this time, so if anyone wants to make a big donation, they can name the boardroom. I got to make that plug while we're walking through. This is the Peggy Rider building. This is one of my very, very favorites, not only because Peggy was a dear woman and Tom Rider has been one of our major supporters of this building, but this is the ultimate in multi-purpose spaces. This area is used for theater. It's used for meetings, rehearsals, galas, weddings. We've even had President Obama speak in this room before. Multi-purpose to the max. We use this all the time. It's busy every night. It's quiet today because this is one room that the paid campers are in. But this room can be anything you want it to be. We can have tables set up as a gala. We can have risers set up so it's a theater. We just added these rails through a very fortunate grant from the Community Foundation for the Land of Lincoln and the Rider Family Fund to provide safety for those people who are up in the balcony.
Can you tell me about the history of this beautiful artwork that's
right
on the walls?
Well, I am so proud of the original founders of the Hoagland that they kept this room intact. This is pretty much, I mean, new carpeting, new paint, but this is pretty much how it looked when it was the Masonic Temple. All the ornate work on the proscenium and all the molding up top, that's all original. It was repainted in 2003, but it has been there ever since, and we love it because it adds so much character to this space. And again, this is our 1909 portion of the building, so there is a lot of history here.
It's beautiful.
I feel that I don't like making big decisions like tearing things down, because I'm a steward of this building.
Yeah.
I won't be here forever. I'm just taking care of it for the time being, along with a fantastic staff and an amazing board of trustees. And we're just kind of honoring the past of the Masons, of the people who are here before us, mm-hmm. and we want to keep it going. We won't spend a lot of time in this room. Everyone will realize this is the club room.
Yes.
Where they're seated watching this. This is the Patrick Coburn Bar Room, named after the editor of the SJR. This building is multi-purpose. It's mm-hmm. it's set up theater style for the Citizens Club. We have jazz combos in here. We have plays. We've had weddings in this space too. It's anything you want it to be. Now we're on the roof of the building. We have a great view of the Capitol up here as well. We just had the roof recovered last year through a donation from a very generous supporter. It's already aged a little bit because of the rain and so forth, but this is all brand new. We don't have any leaks anymore. And these are the new chillers we put in. We put those in during the pandemic, and Henson Robinson Company had to bring in a big crane and lift those from the ground and set them up here. And they keep the building nice and cool on the inside.
Great view of the whole city up here.
It really is.
Really it's beautiful. Thank you so much, Gus. This has been a
pleasure.
Fantastic tour. I hope all of our members now know this is a humongous building that takes a lot of work to keep up.
Right.
And I suppose money as well.
We were debt-free. It is still a very expensive building to operate, so fundraising will always be a part of my job and the job here to keep things operating. But we're blessed with wonderful supporters, wonderful donors, and it's a beautiful building. It has made a big difference in downtown. As we have some trials and tribulations in the downtown area, we are a constant. We are constantly busy with rehearsals and meetings and shows and concerts. So we're bringing people downtown, and we want to help our neighbors grow. We love the downtown, and we want to see it continue to be successful. And we love being down here and being a part of the action in Springfield.
Well, thank you again for the tour. I hope you all enjoyed it. And if you haven't been to any of the shows and things going on here, please take them in. Come and visit. Thank you.
Left on the cutting room floor was the space behind us, which is a big storage room, almost the same size as this room, right?
It is. It's our boiler room. That's where the boilers and chillers are. It gets very hot in there and very loud, and it's not really conducive to a video tour.
You can watch this video tour of the Hoagland Center for the Arts at nprillinois.org. When we come back, questions for the Citizens Club attendees for Gus Gordon of the Hoagland Center of the Arts on NPR Illinois' Community Voices. This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. Today we're taking a look at the Hoagland Center for the Arts. The Citizens Club last year took a deep dive with Gus Gordon, and right now the crowd that attended has the opportunity to ask questions.
And now we're going to let you hopefully have questions that you can answer for us.
Lisa Stone, talk about the elevators.
We only have 15 minutes left, Lisa. That's not going to be enough time. The elevators were updated in 2003 by the Long Elevator Company. Long Elevator put in most of the elevators downtown. They went out of business in 2011. Kone Elevator Company bought them, but Long Elevator Company used a proprietary technology for their elevators. There was a surplus of parts at the time. That was 2011. By 2020, that surplus of parts were dwindling. Now there are no parts left. We have had some issues with our elevators. They've never been dangerous, but they have stopped. And if you are claustrophobic, that's dangerous enough. We were faced with a situation we had to make a change, and we had to update them because there was nothing left to allow us to continue on. We have them put together right now with a few spare parts that came from a building across the street that was going through the renovation we're about to go through. Fortunately, a couple of spare parts became available just because they were modernizing. So we put those in last year. We had both elevators working for a period of time. One of them is now out of service for the most part. It actually works, but I just don't want the public to get stuck in it. And it happens to us, the staff,
enough that that's an issue. The other, the hydraulic lift elevator, which is our ADA compliant elevator, that is working just fine. We had that, we had to have ball bearings replaced in it, and you would not believe how much I've learned about elevators that I never wanted to learn. It's a big job. It's gonna cost $500,000 for us to replace those elevators. We're not replacing everything, we're replacing the brains and the guts that make them work. That's $466,000. I am really proud to say that we have raised that money. I am hesitant to close the campaign because the work starts on September 22nd. Finally, we all know with projects that they discover something. So I'm not saying we are done, we're closed, we're final. We have successfully raised what we were told we needed to raise. And the work starts right after our gala. They have the parts in, like, as of right now. Getting mechanical parts right now, getting technological parts is difficult, a little bit more challenging than perhaps it was before the pandemic. We're hoping to get that started. We're hoping that by the end of the year, both these projects will be done. We were very fortunate that a large portion of that money came from a grant from the city. We worked with Julia Cave, with the city and the Department of Economic Opportunity. They were very, very helpful to us. We had the support of most of the city council and the mayor. We were very appreciative of that. Mayor Buscher had been in our building the weekend before, and the elevators weren't working that weekend, so she knew firsthand what we were facing. We need to stay compliant for the people who use this building. We have kids, as you saw in that video, but we have a lot of senior citizens who come here as well, people in wheelchairs or who use walkers, and we need to make it possible for them to get into the building, get to the first floor, second floor, and up here to the third floor, and that's why that project is imperative for us to finish. As I understand it, and part of the problem, part of the reason it's taken so long to get this going is because many of the other buildings in downtown are going through the same exact thing we are. And Kone is kind of the primary elevator company right now, but Otis and other companies, but we've had such a long relation with both Long and Kone that it seemed foolish to change midstream. We needed them to help us complete this transformation.
Bernie Schoenberg, clarify a little political thing. You mentioned the $5 million you got from the state.
Right.
I had recalled hearing that was like a member initiative from Mike Madigan. I know his wife, Shirley Madigan, was the head of the Illinois Arts Council. I think Andy Van Meter mentioned this in a letter when he was seeking leniency for Mr. Madigan. Can you clarify, how did that work?
I was not here at that time. I was still talking about cold fronts at the moment. I wasn't there, so I can't speak with that kind of authority. As I understand it, this was one of those rare examples where George Ryan and his wife, Laura Lynn, and Mike and Shirley Madigan reached across the aisle to work together to help make this happen. I was always told it was like what they used to call bedroom diplomacy, and that Shirley and Laura Lynn were working to help their husbands help us out. Again, when the administrations changed, you might recall that the door slammed shut on a lot of these projects when the Blagojevich administration came in. Rod Blagojevich was an enormous help to us early on for this reason. We brought in the Second City Comedy Troupe with their show, Rod Blagojevich Superstar, and we made $30,000 profit in 2008, I believe it was. We owe him a debt too, but just for a slightly different reason. That was the one show that I've been a part of my whole life that I think was Brian Mackey at the time. He might have been writing a political column. He had one line, or maybe Bernie, it was you. It could have been you. But there was one line in an article about the possibility that it might come, and our phones rang off the hook. This is before I had signed a contract. These guys were brilliant at Second City. They wrote the show in January. They performed it in Chicago. They brought it down here in March. It was fresh, it was timely, it was funny, it was filthy. The Springfield audience at that moment in our history was all about it, and they wanted to see it. That was an important moment for us. But you're right, there were a lot of people who worked together to make that Illinois First grant come together, and Shirley Madigan and Mike and George Ryan and Laura Lynn were helpful to us at that time, and I have nothing to say about any political things that followed after that.
Fletcher Farrar, Illinois Times. It's great to have an actor and a performer as executive director. How many shows have you been in? Who runs the place when you're on stage?
Oh, that's a good question.
And what's coming up next for you?
I've been a performer since 1980. That's when I took the stage in high school, and it changed my life. That's why I appreciate the kids program so much, because it changed the trajectory of my life. I was shy, I was scared to death of being in front of people, didn't know my place in the social structure of the high school, but I got on stage, I played Jacob Marley in A Christmas Carol, and I came out into the room carrying these chains, and I was shaking the chains, but I wasn't acting, I was shaking, I was terrified. But afterwards, people said, oh, you did a good job, Gus. It changed, I found my spot. Then I started writing for the newspaper. I did a comic strip for the newspaper, played in the band. I wasn't an athlete. I know that's going to be a huge surprise to all of you. It was important to me, and I see that importance for the kids who are in our program right now. They've come in here at 6 years old, and I have seen them leave as seniors. I've seen them now, some of them graduating college, to become amazing young people. That's our biggest gift.
Gus, are all of these shows and dates and times and tickets available on your website?
Every show is available. This is like a treadmill sometimes. We don't get to really enjoy our successes so much because that means we're already late for the next deadline in the next show because it's one right after the other. So I was joking with some folks in the elevator on the way up. It's like, what's this vacation that I hear about? I must look into that someday.
Good morning. Barton Lorimore. I'm Lauren Barnes's nephew. The kitchen. That's kind of new to see that in that condition.
Right.
I remember coming here at a young age to see Uncle Lauren in shows when this was still the Masonic Temple. Have you received any inquiries or do you have a support system if there were interest to revitalize that space?
We could if we needed to. Truthfully, what I've discovered over the years is when I first started here, we had a lot of weddings taking place in the building. Those were great. Those would bring us business for that night, and we still encourage that. But we kind of had to make a decision, are we a reception hall or are we an arts center? In my time as the executive director, I've kind of gone towards that we're an arts center first. And if we can work those other things in, that's great. The same thing with the kitchen. As much as we loved having Arena here, and boy, their fried chicken is the best in town, it would be problematic at times because two very different business models working at the same time, they would be parked in front of the building getting ready for a catering job. When we had people entering the building, they had trucks that were double parked in front of the building on 6th Street, causing traffic hangups. We would receive complaints for that. Wear and tear on the building because they are a busy organization. This was just a natural transition. Having a full-time caterer kitchen in the building was helpful, but we are not the reception facility that I think our original founders thought we might turn into. We're more of a building that has arts events and community events like the Citizens Club. We're in a kind of a transitional state right now. We had a lot of changes during the pandemic, but I am happy to say that for every thing that we thought was, oh my gosh, we've lost a group, or this is changing, or that's changing, we've had something else come in to take its place that has kept us just as viable, just as strong. I have to mention, I am the luckiest guy in town because I've got the best board of trustees. We don't have a lot of actors or directors on our board. I think that can be problematic for arts groups because they all want to have their daughter star as Annie, or they all want to direct the next show. We have CPAs, we have lawyers, we have doctors, we have real estate agents, we have architects. Now they have an interest in the theater or the arts, but that's not their primary reason for being there. And we have had such a tranquil, cooperative board that, and Sheila Walk, my wonderful dear friend who has been with the Arts Council for years, is now on our board. And as soon as she retired from the executive director position at the Arts Council, I was down there at her door saying, do you want to be on our board? Do you want to be on our board? And she's another wonderful example. It's a very harmonious group, knock wood, because I know that can change in a heartbeat. We are appreciative of the board and my staff. We are a very small staff in a very big building. We're constantly chasing our tails, but we all love it. We all are engaged, and we believe in what we do, and we believe in our city and what we can do to help make our city a better place.
The Hoagland staff is definitely succeeding. From our past Bedrock shows that NPR Illinois did, to our kids and friends performing in productions, the Hoagland Center for the Arts has become an essential cultural institution in Central Illinois. Thanks to the Citizens Club, the Hoagland, and the city for this audio on Community Voices.